morning. May I wish you a very warm welcome to online worship with the community of believers in Saintfield Road Presbyterian Church. My name is Gordon Campbell. I'm one of the elders here. We're working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and this Sunday we reach Mark 5. So shortly we'll read from it and take time together to think about it. First, let me highlight a couple of announcements. Next Sunday, 21st of March, 4 p.m., we will be holding a cafe church Zoom on the theme Mission on Our Doorstep and to the Ends of the Earth. And as you see it here, you'll also have seen it on the rolling announcement. So do get it in your diaries and don't miss it. And look out too for a new Irish arts event about St. Patrick, filmed in Belfast Cathedral. That's available online and up until 22nd of March. Tickets are free and can be obtained through the New Irish Arts website. Well, as a congregation, we still worship together apart, while we long for the improvement in public health that will allow us to gather once more in person. So today, you're watching our service being live streamed. This is Sunday, 14th of March. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent. And in Britain, at least, that makes it both Mothering Sunday and also Mother's Day. Mid-Lent, or Mothering Sunday, since the Middle Ages, has been the day when Christians in Britain, and more recently the English-speaking world, would visit their mother church, the one where they were baptized or that was their spiritual home. Perhaps this congregation, Saintfield Road, has nurtured you in faith. And if that's so, give thanks. And today or this week, pray for our ongoing work and witness here. If you came to faith and first learned to be a disciple in some other local church, then do take time to pray for it. Here is a reminder of just some of what being part of the church, Christ's body, means, as Paul describes it in some excerpts from 1 Corinthians 12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. There are many members, yet one body, that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Of course, in more recent times, Mothering Sunday has also merged with Mother's Day. Not only do we celebrate and pay tribute to our Mother Church, we also celebrate and honor our Mother who gave us birth. Whatever our age, thinking of our Mother makes us thankful. If we have lost our Mother, then we remember with a tinge of sorrow, maybe even regret. If we still have our Mother, restrictions permitting, we can hopefully share our love with her, perhaps in person, perhaps virtually. If your mother is, or while she lived was, a woman of faith, then your mother church and your own mother may naturally come together. I wonder if you recall Jesus's love for his mother, Mary. In John 19, Jesus has carried his cross and then been crucified upon it. Nearby stand several women, among them his mother. And we read this: when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, says the evangelist, the disciple took her into his home. Well, with these thoughts setting some context for us on this fourth Sunday in Lent, here are some further words you may recognize. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment. His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. It's the third verse of our opening praise, which invites us to rejoice in the mercy shown to us sinners in Jesus Christ, who cleared our debt so that our Heavenly Father could welcome us home. His mercy is more. Those thoughts ringing in our ears, and that mercy underpinning all we do in worship, let's come to prayer. And as we pray, we're going to use a psalm and a prayer of David, Psalm 13 and Psalm 86. Let us pray. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trust in your steadfast love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. And Father God, how much true and truer are these words if we pray them through great David's greater son, Jesus, and to your glory. Amen. Well, last week, Jill and Johnny helped us explore what happened when Jesus and his disciples were in a boat on Lake Galilee, and their boat nearly sank in a storm. Here's a short video from Ben, our minister, to remind us about that and some other resources.
Last week, Johnny and Jill spoke to us about that time the disciples thought they would sink and drown in the storm. But Jesus, there with them in it all, showed himself to be the powerful Lord of creation, the one to put their faith in, the one to put our faith in. These are some of the pictures people drew in response to the story. As Johnny mentioned, PCI have produced this short video called Sinking. It's just 4 minutes and it's designed to bring a message of hope. If in these days you feel like your life is sinking, there is in Jesus hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You can see a link to it, and it's on the announcement sheet too. It doesn't have any particular PCI branding. It's straightforward to share with anyone. There's also a second version where I've added a 2-minute introduction from Saintfield Road using some of our countdown video and then some details at the end as to how people can ask for prayer or be in contact or join us online. That's now on the homepage of our website. It's on our YouTube channel and it's on our Facebook page. Now, there are some steps I'd love each of us at least to consider. 1. Watch. Watch the videos. You might like to watch the longer SRPC version, which includes the sinking video as part of it. See what you make of it, and whether you think this might be something that you could share with people you know who don't have hope in Jesus. 2. Pray. Pray that this will be an effective way of encouraging people through the web and online of thinking about faith in Christ. But also pray, asking God if there's anyone you might particularly share it with. Friends, family members, someone who might benefit from watching it and reflecting on the hope that Jesus alone brings. And 3, share. Well, we've shared it on Facebook. You could do the same if you wanted through your own social media, whether it's the general video or the SRPC specific one. But more than that, maybe there are people who God is leading you directly to share this with. Perhaps a WhatsApp or text message with a link. Maybe the SRPC one for people who might be more local or part of our community. maybe simply the shorter general one for those further away, or who might switch off before 2 minutes of my intro is up. It doesn't matter which, or even if it's something else, but here's just one way of starting a conversation. Here's a video you might like to watch that explains why I have faith, why I'm a Christian, how I've got through these days, you might say. And then you could follow up in a few days. Hi, how are you doing? How are things? Did you watch that video? What did you make of it? I'd love to chat or meet up for a coffee when that's possible. Of course, being open about our faith can be fearful, but we were encouraged last week to feed faith, not fear, as we look to Jesus. Faith in the one who is sovereign over all things, who has the power in the middle of a storm to stir the hearts of people to look to him. So in faith, what might it look like for us to watch, pray, share our faith in this way or another, and see what Jesus might do?
Ten days ago, Ryanair announced a return to George Best Belfast City Airport. After more than 10 years away, new routes to Spain and Italy, foreign travel. A few weeks ago, a disheveled Boris hinted that there may, after all, be something like a normal summer. Could there be foreign travel in some shape or form, with or without a vaccination passport, alongside your British or Irish one? Have you ventured onto the EasyJet or Ryanair websites or one of the package holiday or cruising holiday specialists to book your getaway? Foreign travel, there, I said it again. With one daughter in Florida and another in Spain, you can understand my cautious excitement. But while we wait and hope for a change of scenery and temperature, or of language and culture and coinage, like me, do you maybe enjoy escaping via voyages of the imagination? For the stay-at-home and couch-bound during lockdown, the travels of Michael Palin, Joanna Lumley, Simon Reeve, or some other intrepid traveler, that's all now a staple of TV programming. Here in Mark 5, I can promise you what the French would call un dépaysement total, or in English, a thoroughly disorientating change of scene. If you enjoy these trips, then today's story from Mark's Gospel may be just the one for you. Now, you won't need phrase book, sunscreen, t-shirts, Moses sandals just yet, but here goes. Craig Emerson will read this account for us. If you want to follow along, it's time to open your paper or your digital Bible to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20.
They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed before him, and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. The people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus, and he saw the demoniac sitting clothed in his right mind, and the very man who had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they begged Jesus to leave the neighbourhood. He was getting into the boat, and the man who was possessed by the demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Amen.
In a moment, we will ponder this foreign getaway from Jesus' ministry in Mark, where Jesus powerfully casts impure demons out of a man. As we prepare to do that, it's perhaps appropriate that we sing as our prayer, "Purify My Heart." To reflect on this scripture together, let us ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O send your Spirit, Lord, now to me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within your word, and in your book revealed, I'll see you, Lord. Amen. In last week's story, as the short video reminded us, after a day of teaching the crowds in parables, Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." He and his disciples probably sailed from Capernaum. They were caught in a storm, while Jesus, doubtless exhausted from his activities, slept. And they woke him and cried out to be saved. Now, In the story that Craig read for us, they reach the other side of Lake Galilee. And this story will end with the demon-possessed man whom Jesus restores, spreading the word about what Jesus has done for him, apparently making him the first non-Jew to witness to Jesus. He does this in the 10 towns, or Decapolis, that covered the region to the east and southeast of Lake Galilee, mostly in modern Jordan. On this map, you can see 10 black dots for the towns and their combined territory in green. Mark says in the opening verse, Jesus went ashore in the region of one of the 10, the Gerasenes. And Luke, in his version of the story, says the same. However, as you can see, ancient Gerasa is some distance from the lake shore, about 37 miles, in fact. Ancient Gadara, though, is much closer to the lake shore and has a harbor there. And Matthew's version of the story speaks instead of the region of the Gadarenes. However, as this map of the lake and its ancient harbors on the next slide shows, there's also a third option, Gergesa, further north on the eastern shore. And there's some ancient tradition from the 3rd century onwards that supports this alternative landing point, as, by the way, does the local geography, especially with the steep cliffs and slopes in the area. So which of the three is it? Gerasenes? Gadarenes? Gergesenes? Mark does seem to have meant the Gerasenes, but early scribes who copied Greek manuscripts of Mark and of the other Gospels just weren't sure. Anyhow, wherever Jesus landed, this exotic foreign location is in Gentile territory, and it's the morning after a rough night's crossing. A first century fishing boat was excavated out of the mud of Lake Galilee during a drought in the 1980s. This is it. And from what's left of the hull, it would have been around 8 meters long, 2.5 meters wide, certainly big enough to carry the disciples. A reconstruction would look something like this. Indeed, today's visitors to Lake Galilee and those across the decades since the excavation have cruised on the lake in boats just like this one. So then, imagine, if you will, arriving in harbor that day with storm-stopping Jesus and his shell-shocked, gobsmacked disciples aboard. That is the they of verse 1. The disciples, still asking one another in horror, who is this man who tells a raging wind or tossing waves to cease on the lake with just a word? And who asked us, why are you so afraid? Have you still got no faith? Personally, I for one imagine them open-mouthed, no words coming out, glued to their seats in the boat in post-storm stilling terror. The last story ends with the question, who is this? This story explores the answer. Even if the disciples who ask the question play no part at all in the account, they're at most silent witnesses and will remain so until the middle of the next story. That's next week. But I'm assuming they saw everything from the boat. Somebody had to see and hear what happened next on this strange shore, unless we think Mark made this whole foreign trip up. So who is this who gets out of the boat? This intrepid Jesus who goes ashore while the fear-filled disciples stay aboard? Back in the chaos and crush of chapter 3, where Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat because of the crowds and their needs, his family concluded he was mad. and tried to kidnap him. One of the best meditations I know on Jesus being allegedly out of his mind, as his family thought, or frighteningly out of this world, as his disciples thought, was written 36 years ago in a song. Now, relax, I'll resist the temptation to sing it. But the lyrics begin like this. Seems I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priests said a demon's to blame. But God, in the form of this angry young man, could not have seemed perfectly sane. Michael Card, songwriter, theologian. Appearances, Mark is saying, are deceptive. There is none saner than Jesus. It is the disciples shaking in the boat who doubt their own sanity. The religious leaders had a different perspective on Jesus. They opted for bad, not mad. They accused Jesus of being possessed by the prince of demons. But as Jesus told them, how could Satan drive out Satan? Every exorcism, like the rest of Jesus' deeds or his words, testified to the triumph of good. Jesus isn't mad, as his family think, but sane. And he isn't bad, as the priests claim, but good. And as C.S. Lewis once said, there remains just one possibility. Mark mentioned it in the very first line of his gospel, that Jesus is the Son of God. Ironically, only the unclean spirits know this and know it instinctively. So in this story, Jesus, who is perfectly sane and perfectly good, comes face to face with a man robbed of his identity and his dignity. A man who is naked, who lives out here among the tombs, a man possessed by an unclean spirit, or is it spirits? In verse 2, one spirit. In verses 8 to 10, one and several spirits. And in verses 11 to 13, plural. And not just plural, legion. The word normally describes a regiment of Roman soldiers, typically numbering up to 6,000. Spirit or spirits? They've just one victim, one poor man who has no speech of his own, but is a mouthpiece for the spirit or spirits that hold him in their thrall. They it is who gulder at Jesus. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. We see the irony. The spirits who torture this poor soul fear that a stronger than they will now torture them. In the past, the man has often been shackled, but he has always burst his bonds. We aren't told who put him in irons. Society, presumably, in a fruitless attempt to bring him under control. But it didn't work, and nobody tries to chain him anymore. When he should be sleeping, he's shrieking night and day. He is also self-harming. This poor, dehumanized creature is not in his right mind. Physically, he is unfettered. But mentally, he is deranged, held in a prison he can't escape. Until that is, Jesus commands the unclean spirit in verse 8 to come out of him and tells the man in verse 9 to name his demons. We already know in Mark's story that Jesus has power and authority to repel and expel evil. But here, Mark makes this clearer, sharper, more compelling than before. Brothers and sisters, not so very long ago, mental illness or mental health were taboo subjects. There was a stigma, maybe even a certain shame. I'm old enough to remember when society still hid away those fellow human beings who were ill mentally. Mercifully, that has changed. More recently, in Northern Ireland's troubles, as we euphemistically call them, a legacy was produced of widespread, ongoing mental anguish and trauma, and society has struggled to address it. And now, for over a year, our society and culture, and not just ours, have been gripped by COVID-19. If the current coronavirus pandemic is like an earthquake, then its aftershocks and the tsunami it has caused are effects on the mental health of millions. The big topics on this graphic from Action Mental Health are, you can see them, mental health awareness, emotional well-being, personal resilience, overcoming any remaining stigma. And this applies to us all. Families, schools, universities, workplaces, the health services, all trying to deal with a veritable epidemic of symptoms. Almost anyone may face anxiety, feelings of low self-esteem, a fall in the ability to sustain healthy relationships, and a rise in relationship breakdown. And we could go on. If anyone watching is suffering mentally in any way, then as that next slide says, please do something about it. Mind your head. Talk about it. Share the burden with a friend. Reach out. Seek help. But back to our story on a foreign shore. In commanding the spirits to come out and in telling the man to name his demons, Jesus is attacking the prison to set the prisoner free. Curiously, as though they were territorial spirits, the spirits beg not to be sent out of the area. You see that in verse 10? But sent instead into a large herd of pigs grazing on a nearby hillside. Jesus agrees. And the result? 2,000 stampeding swine that drown in the lake, and the swine herds running off to report this in town and country, so that a crowd gathers. What are we to make of the maddened pigs hurtling down the hillside into the lake to drown? Somebody has called it a really bad waste of good bacon. Well, that might make us smile. But it makes sense, really, only to a pig farmer or a butcher. Was Jesus sending the unclean spirits into the abyss, from where they would inflict no more damage on his fellow men? The pigs, like the spirits, were deemed unclean. No Jew kept pigs or ate pork. These pigs were for Gentile purposes. Indeed, pigs were used in sacrifices to Zeus. But so many pigs may suggest that there are a lot of mouths to feed. The mouths, perhaps, of a Roman legion stationed nearby. One legion had a boar as its emblem, and a boar mosaic has been found in Gerasa. Does the repetition of the Spirit's name in verse 15 as the legion of demons hint at this? Well, by the time the locals assemble, the spirit-possessed man is sane and clothed. And it's the turn of these newcomers to be afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of such raw power that can cure the incurable and restore a deranged man to his right mind? Or afraid of the loss of their livelihood? And who knows what worse to come if this stranger sticks around much longer? Just as the spirits had pleaded with Jesus not to be sent out of the region, now the locals plead with Jesus to leave their region. They're not ready for the coming of the kingdom to their shores. Jesus, in verse 18, is back at the boat, ready to leave their region almost as soon as he'd entered it. So this travel was a day trip, or even shorter. And now comes the third plea. As the restored man begs to go with Jesus. Jesus had agreed to the Spirit's plea, sending them into the pigs. And he had agreed to the plea of the inhabitants to leave their region as he gets back to the boat. But he doesn't agree to the plea of the now sane man. Jesus, we read in verse 19, did not let him. Why? In his plea, does Jesus hear the request of a man who hardly knows yet what freedom means, and who risks chaining himself mentally and spiritually to Jesus as a better master to obey than the last one? Or is it premature for this man, a Gentile, to come and take his place among Jesus's Jewish disciples in their mission to Israel? Is it simply too early for him to think about foreign travel just yet? There is to be no mission to the ends of the earth, or even across the lake, for this man with broken chains. But instead, mission on his doorstep to his own people. Significantly, Jesus allows him to call him Lord and sends him to his home and to his own kin and his own kind. The one who had no speech, no dignity, no freedom becomes a pioneer missionary, telling the 10 towns what Jesus had done for him. What was his testimony? Jesus spoke to me. Jesus had mercy on me. Jesus healed me. Jesus set me free. Jesus gave me back my identity. Now I follow Jesus. Mark concludes that in hearing his story, all the people of the region were amazed. Amazed, no doubt, at his transformation from the crazed creature in the tombs to the persuasive preacher in the towns. And with that, our brief foreign travel trip is over. But the adventure has left its mark, since it authorizes us to tell our friends, maybe much as Ben's video suggested we might, how much the Lord has done for us. We come now to intercessory prayer, and this will be led by two more of our elders here in Saintfield Road, Harold and Eileen Hamilton.
In Psalm 103, verse 1, we read, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Father God, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we praise you for your overwhelming love for us. Forgive us if our love for you is weak and faint. So many external factors hinder what should be a deep, trusting love for a God who loved us so much that he sacrificed his Son for us when we were still unworthy sinners. We praise and thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have given us. On this Mother's Day, we thank you for our mother's love and care for us. Help us to love and honour both our parents. We pray for those who never knew a mother's care, who were separated from their mothers at birth. May they find compassion for those living in the times that were so unforgiving to unmarried mothers. May they be enabled to forgive the wrongs, whether real or perceived, that they feel have been done to them. We pray for families who are having troubled and hurtful times, and especially we remember the royal family this week. May your love surround them all and lead to reconciliation. We thank you for the example of love and duty that the Queen has shown in a long reign.
Thank you, God, that the COVID pandemic seems to be lessening. We thank you for the wisdom you have given to those who worked on developing the various vaccines. May they be used wisely and widely throughout the world. Grant our politicians wisdom to lead us through to a more normal life. Help us all to follow the guidelines given for our own safety and the safety of others. And we pray for those for whom isolation has led to depression and mental health issues. Be with those who are stressed and worried about the future and what it holds. As you healed the man possessed by demons and restored him to calmness and peace of mind, so we pray that your healing power may be with those who are ill in mind and body. We thank you for your steadfast love and compassionate care for all your children. And we remember countries where civil unrest and conflict. We pray especially for the people of Myanmar and many other countries where there is no stable governments. We pray for refugees who have escaped from conflict. May they find a welcome here. Bless the work done by Storehouse and the International Meeting Point. May the work they do speak to others of the love of God for all mankind.
Thank you, Lord, for the work done by Johnny and Jill with our children, youth and young adults. It's so encouraging and uplifting to know that the next generation are being well equipped to continue to pass on the good news. We thank you too for the work done by the technical teams in bringing Sunday worship to our congregation in various ways. Be with Ben and Ruth and their family as they continue to lead our worship and give pastoral care to all. Thank you for the leaders of various groups as they try to keep in touch with their members. Give them new ideas and stamina for this work.
And we pray for those in our fellowship who serve you abroad. We commit John and Barita, Jonas and Marcus in Japan. Grant them good health and continue to uphold them in their language studies and friendships with people they meet. give them proficiency in the language, that they may be fluent to speak freely of their faith. And we lift Gerald and Louise and their three boys. We especially remember Louise as she mourns the death of her grandfather. Comfort and uphold them at this sad time. We pray too for David Timothy and his work in Beaver. We remember Heather at home, involved in various ways. May the way soon be cleared for her to return to India and her work there. We offer our prayers to you, knowing that you hear and answer. For we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Half of everyone listening, watching, thinking, praying, singing along with us today, in this, our Mother Church that nurtures us, I want to thank all those who have participated in worship. That includes Chris and Phil on AV. It includes Grace, Dave, and Susan leading the praise. It includes Ben, Craig, Harold, and Eileen in the videos. May God bless us all as we serve him in the light of the word that he has shared with us and that he will work within us through the power of his Spirit. Salvation belongs to our God, and that is the theme for our closing praise. Not an ending, but ascending. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be great. gracious to you, the Lord.